Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
My husband Jerry and I went on a road trip last summer. It was Jerry's idea, but I went along with it because I knew we were having some trouble in our marriage. I wasn't too excited about driving across the Southwest, but if Jerry thought that a trip would help us connect, I figured I'd go along with it and see what happens. Right away, I regretted the decision. The AC wasn't working right, and our radio was either static or awful country music stations. It was just all around unpleasant.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
I tried to talk to Jerry about little things like movies or music or our families, but every conversation devolved into awkward silence. I could tell that there was something on his mind, something he didn't want to tell me about. By midday, we decided to stop at a KFC in the middle of nowhere for lunch. I wasn't really in the mood for fried food, but it was the only option for miles, so that's where we went. We pulled into the parking lot. It was completely empty except for our car. The restaurant was also empty. A large woman was manning the front counter, but otherwise it was just me and Jerry. The woman greeted us, acting a little surprised to have customers, and Jerry ordered for both of us. I sat at one of the booths and waited for Jerry to bring back our drinks. He got a Diet Coke and I got a lemonade. Just like before, we sat in silence. "Jerry," I finally said, "are you happy?" He flinched at the question. "Why would you ask that?" "Are you?" I tried again. It was a simple question, but he looked away. He behaved like that sometimes. If he didn't want to say anything, he'd just stare at his feet until I dropped the subject. But I wasn't going to drop it this time. I knew that something was bugging him, and I needed to find out what. "Is it something I did?" I asked. "No!" he shouted. "Then what?" He sighed, sounding like a party balloon as it slowly deflates. Then he looked back at me, and his eyes were filled with tears. "I'm sorry," he said. "It's not you, it's... I've been having nightmares lately. They won't stop. I thought that maybe if we traveled somewhere, I'd be free of these thoughts, but I don't think it's working." This was news to me. He always seemed like he slept peacefully. In the mornings, he always acted relaxed and well-rested. "What kind of nightmares?" I asked. He went back to looking at his feet. It's weird. I dream that people are after me. They want to kill me." "Why?" "I don't know," he said. His voice was shaky and cracked. "They seem normal at first, but then their eyes turn completely black and they go crazy. I know it sounds stupid, but..." I reached across the table and held his hands. "It's not crazy," I said. "How long has this been going on?" Before he answered, he looked back up at me. Then he noticed that the woman was standing by our table, setting the trays of food in front of us. He turned towards her and instantly started screaming. He pulled his hands away from me and jumped out of his seat. I'd never seen someone so afraid before. He stared at that woman like she was some horrible, demonic thing. I tried to tell him to calm down, but I don't think he heard me. He ran across the restaurant and out of the door. I watched through the windows as he raced past our car and disappeared into the empty field behind the parking lot. "What the hell?" the woman said. I didn't have time to answer her. I jumped out of my seat and ran after him. As soon as I got outside, the desert heat hit me like a slap in the face. I ran through the parking lot, trying to follow Jerry's steps. I made it into the open field, but I couldn't see him anywhere. I spent about 10 minutes looking around and shouting his name, but there was no sign of him. He was gone. I pulled out my phone and called his number, but it just went to voicemail. I was starting to get really worried. The highway rolled on in either direction, and empty space all around me seemed to go on forever. Everything was so flat and featureless. There was no place for Jerry to hide, and yet I couldn't see him. Eventually, I went back to the KFC where the lady was still waiting. She looked very confused. I explained that Jerry got spooked and ran off. I didn't know what else to say. She forced a smile and said he'd come back. After all, there was no place for him to go. No place for miles. I called the police, and they didn't arrive until 30 minutes later. I explained what happened, and they said they'd put out a search for him. In the meantime, there was a motel about 50 miles away that I could check into and wait until he showed up. I guess I was in shock because I don't remember anything else until I parked in front of that motel. Anyways, I checked in for the night. I was the only customer. The next day, I didn't hear anything from the police, so I drove back to that KFC to see if anyone had seen him. Once again, the restaurant was empty except for the large woman at the counter, the one that had spooked Jerry so badly. She saw me and smiled, but I could tell that she didn't have any news for me. She asked if I knew why Jerry had run away like that, and I said that I had no idea. He was just having nightmares. As soon as I said that, I could have sworn that her eyes turned all black. Just for a second. It happened so fast that I didn't know if it was real or just my own imagination. I got in my car and left. It's been 3 days since this happened. The police still haven't found Jerry. I'm still at that motel waiting for him to turn back up. And last night, I had a nightmare about that woman. Her eyes were pure black, and she was running after me. Honestly, I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm scared. I think that maybe Jerry was right. Maybe there are people out there. People that want to hurt us. God, what should I do?
Lana had an appetite for good food, so when she mentioned that the KFC closest to our location in our vacation city had a very good rating, I knew we'd go check it out. "Now!" Lana exploded when I asked how soon it would be. "Now?" I was curious. We'd been in the city for only a day and some hours, and I did not feel obliged to move through such a new place without some proper assessment of the locals. I immediately sensed that her mind had begun to drift to the deliciousness which she anticipated. It was a slice of home, and home was far away. She started to speak as I prepared myself for the trip to the KFC, but by the time I was ready for us to move to the KFC, I had heard nothing of what she had said. "Interesting. I'd love to try that too," I answered ignorantly to appease her. Lana handled the map, and I drove through rough and narrow streets until we found it. "Here," she squealed and jumped out of the car when we arrived. In her usual cheerful disposition, she rushed through the streets before I could even put my things together in the car. She was at the door to the KFC when my eyes trailed her and she pointed up at the sign. The windshield and the distance between us made her inaudible, but her lips moved and then she opened the door to the KFC. I groaned in frustration at her enthusiasm, rather too bubbly and all too forward-moving. I snatched my wallet from the car and moved quickly to meet up with her. I was more careful with the streets, looking this way and that before I crossed. Straight up into the KFC, and I held the door open to let myself in. "Hey," I saluted the man behind the counter. He was a dark-skinned man, but I could tell it was more from an active life in the sun than from melanin. He had thick hair and thick eyebrows. His jaws were neatly shaved, but his mustache was pretty decent. He had a curious assessment of me when I walked towards him. It was only when I was done with the fascination of his being that I discovered something amiss. "Hey, a woman just walked in here." "Don't play games, Lana. We don't have all day." I trailed off my question when I suspected a prank. The man behind the counter looked at me as though he suspected I was inebriated. I found no amusement in such a condescending gaze. I did not feel too good with Lana out of my sight so suddenly in the new city. "No woman," the man said at last, decidedly. He looked away from me. What did he mean, no woman? He had spoken two words in vernacular, and I felt my muscles tighten in dread. He did not seem to be a man that joked or a man that played such games with strangers. There was no jest in his eyes, and instead, it was a dismissiveness of my presence that he wore. "Woman. Walked in here minutes ago, blonde hair." I tried my best broken English to describe Lana's features, but the man's pale glance was unaltered. If he was acting, I reasoned, he was a damn good actor. "No woman," he stated again, irritated by my persistence. "You buy some food, no?" For a moment, I doubted that I had come with Lana at all. It was where my horror began. My mind began to conjure scenarios, and it threw them at me violently. I looked outside of the KFC, and my car was still parked where it was. I leaned to the counter with my sweat-stained hands. "Please, tell me the truth," I begged. The man did not budge. His frown was as stiff as rock. There was no truth. There was nothing to tell. Nothing but a big sharp cleaver which he produced from under the counter. "Stupid Yankee. You want KFC?" he asked and swung his cleaver twice in a direction which I suspected he wanted me to go. "Two Yankee in one day. Good business." The light bulb went off in my head. The KFC was a bait. There was no intention to sell anything to us. Horror dawned on me and I whimpered to expel air from my lungs. I thought about Lana, and the utter horror of her life at that moment made my heart sink. I wanted to be by her side quickly, so I complied with this man. "Where are you, Adam?" The man spoke into a phone before I realized he had begun to make a phone call. "Be here in an hour." He pushed behind me with his knife, and I walked gently as we made our way from the general KFC hall into an unlit passageway that reeked of antiseptic and harsh detergent. The deeper we traveled, the more distinct I could hear sobbing. I pushed towards it instinctively. He was right behind me to remind me of pace. "Not so quick, Yankee." He cussed at me, slapping the flat of the cleaver on my neck. I whelped. The torture had begun, and I knew it would go on for a while, Lana and I, without restraint for as long as they could until they drew their pound. The immediate future was bleak. I could not afford the terror for neither Lana nor I. My heartbeat spiked as we moved closer to the door. I pushed it open gingerly and surely. There was Lana, more humble than I had ever seen her at any time. She did not lift her head to see it was me who entered. The door was wide enough to accommodate one person, and I knew if I could pull off one maneuver, we would escape the horrors of being kidnapped and possibly killed. I placed my faith in my instinct when I was fully in the room. Just as I anticipated, the man overstepped. "Ah!" he whimpered in surprise as I backed into his abdomen with my lower body. His upper body pushed forward, and he gave up his arm for me to grip onto. Lana stirred in the chaos, and her crying became loud wails of fear and panic. I threw the man overhead, and he landed on his back, and his head knocked against the corner floor of the wall.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
The knife slipped from his hand and he blacked out, with his neck at an angle. I marched over to him and stomped down on his neck, effectively ending what would be of his wretched life. He gulped once and that was it. I hurried over to Lana's side and I picked her up from the floor. She recoiled at first, and when she saw it was me, she fell into my hands in relief. "Let's get out of here," I said to her.
He said he would kill me,"
Lana cried, eyes glistening with raw fear. "He won't be doing that. He's dead," I said as we began to make our way back.
I thought of my dreams and how close I was to achieving them, and it brought a smile to my face. Hard work paid off. My habit of saving up made what had been a desire a feasible reality. The warm sunlight washed the smile into a proud beam, angling the expression. My lips parted in thanks. Someday now, any day now. I repeated my mantra, which had kept me focused on the pizza delivery job through circumstances good and bad. It was that vision of near success that would keep me through everything. The box in my hand was still warm. The fresh smell of pizza lined my nostrils. A familiar scent that meant one thing and one thing only. It would be a good delivery. Another tip towards my computer systems and a start in my IT journey. A smart picture of myself sitting in front of my biggest idols in Silicon Valley flashed past my mind, and my cheeks almost hurt from smiling so broadly. "Number 69," I mouthed, and a chuckle slipped from my lips. It was the delivery address, and the more I thought of it, the more I realized it was funny. Life was funny. The house was a small bungalow with a wide porch. The lean, fibrous wooden beams supported the canopy of the ceiling over the home. It looked renovated, the overall appearance of decay still perceivable from its fading white paint. Whoever lived in such a weathered house, I reasoned, definitely would not tip a lot of money. But that would not matter too much as long as the job paid. I turned and marched in the direction of the building. I stopped at the bottom of the stairs and looked up at the door. My mien turned curious when I saw that the door was ajar. That was a strange thing in such a neighborhood. I assessed my position, and the street was empty. Whatever person or people lived in the house knew audacity. Maybe it was simple and I was overthinking already, but my gut was intent on something awry. One step forward, and I took a gingerly breath. My mind roamed fast, yet it settled on nothing. There was too much to expect. I had seen enough of the job to know that there was no limit to human weirdness. My small mustache collected a nervous sweat, and it made me tickle. I wiped it with the back of my hand. What if? I paused when my heart snapped sharply. The smell of the pizza drowned in my anxiety, and my hand held the pizza box numbly. There was a reason not to move too close to such an obvious sign of danger without announcing one's presence. What if the person inside of the house was in danger, I reasoned. I was no cop. How could I help them? "Hello? Is anybody home?" I hollered, knocking on the wooden bar. I drew a long breath into my lungs and called out again. The second time I called was received with a grating response from within the house. I took one step back from the stairs and waited. The door yawned and it was pulled even wider. A bald man tucked his head out through the gap and smiled.
"Are you the pizza boy?"
he asked and stood up straight.
"Yes, sir,"
I answered, shoving the box forward to corroborate my response. The man hesitated and looked around the street. I thought it was odd that he would do that, but the man had an inviting allure, so I shrugged it off.
"I've got something going on in the house. Do you mind helping me bring it inside while I get the money?"
the man pressed, leaving little time for me to reflect on his response before he turned around, disappearing into the house. I contemplated my move with the box of pizza still in my hands. The door was open, and the man had gone in. A fuzzy thought turned my vision blurry. I had to be overthinking, I thought. Nothing about the man seemed amiss. even though I sensed something was wrong. I completed the steps up the porch with a clear head. "Hey, I'm just gonna keep the pizza here," I said into the empty house after scanning around the furniture and effects.
"And then leave?"
My heart jumped when the man's voice came from over my shoulder. In a panic, the pizza flew from my grip. The hair on the back of my neck stood on end, and sudden terror, like a noose around my neck, gripped me. Strong hands grabbed my shoulder and pushed me forcefully against the sofa. I stumbled, tumbling to my side as confusion and dread contorted my facial features gloomy, leaving me paralyzed with fear.
"I just came to deliver pizza," I cried in alarm.
The man moved over to the door casually, with no mind for the intensity of the moment. He looked into the street, and satisfied, he slammed the door behind him as he returned into the room.
"You'd be delicious,"
the man said, licking his lips with implication.
"What?"
My butthole puckered.
"Human flesh is delicious. Unfortunately, you won't get to try it,"
the man said, wide-eyed. A slew of spittle slinked from his mouth, and he pulled it in with his hands. I noted the man's eyes, and realization came like a dangerous bolt of lightning. Little wonder the energy around the house did not feel right. I had never encountered a cannibal, so there was no way I could have known. But sheer evil always felt off. It shocked me to think that it was possible. The man's mouth still drooled with saliva as he walked towards me, and the world closed into a small space. The glare in the man's gaze proved his fidelity, even in his evil. My skin crawled, and I stammered as I picked myself up from the floor.
"No! You'll take your pizza and I'll leave,"
I resisted, wrestling back my fear. My dream and all of my plans were so achievable now. This man could not steal it from me, I decided. My will to fight for that fancy office in the big leagues of my chosen career proved itself. The man quickly turned red from blushing, and I staggered backward, panting and panicking. My legs struck the table, and I flinched upon contact.
"Fuck!"
I bellowed and grabbed my chest to ease its reckless beating. "Look, mister, don't play games. The pizza's ruined, but I can get you another one."
"I should steam you up before the oven, or just refrigerate you. You're not as meaty as the others,"
the man said.
"You monster!"
I cried when I realized the futility of begging.
"Come here,"
the man said and lunged at me. I pinched my toes to the ground, and with nimble athleticism, I maneuvered from the direction of the man's reach. The man was sluggish, and I capitalized with quick movements by shoving him from behind. The man cried as he stumbled into the table and tripped, crashing face first into the wall.
"My nose!"
he cried out.
"You killer!"
I hollered as I rushed to the man's side. With one deft motion, I kicked the man's head against the wall when I noticed him trying to pick himself up, effectively knocking him out.
"Cops are coming for your butt,"
I said, as I picked my phone up to make the call to the emergency center. The cops arrived moments later, and it was only then that I could breathe again, watching him stir without rising. I took the compliment as a hero who had stopped a serial-killing cannibal.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
but I never quite shook off the horrors of that moment.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Celebrate over 100 years of steak perfection during the Omaha Steaks Anniversary Sale. Save 50% site-wide on USDA certified tender steaks and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code CERTIFIED at omahasteaks.com today. Don't wait. Shop the anniversary sale at omahasteaks.com to save 50% on legendary steaks and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code CERTIFIED. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.